We're here with Marlins radio play-by-play man, Kyle Seeloff. Kyle, as always, thank you for taking the time. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you guys?
We're doing all right.
Round two.
All right. I feel like we've had you on more than, well, I guess we've had you on live streams, podcasts, and Jeopardy, too.
And I won the Jeopardy that night. I won Jeopardy. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, well, let's get into it. Obviously, it's your second full season as the Marlins' main radio play-by-play man. Any differences on yourself that you've seen from last year to this year?
I feel a little more comfortable. The stuff that people probably don't care about, like my preparation, I feel a little bit better at. I feel like, I guess maybe I trust my preparation. I think it's so easy, like when you're young, and I'm still young, obviously. It's just my second year that, like, I feel like I need to spend all day preparing. It's almost like you almost feel lazy if you don't, or like you do all this work and like you're supposed to use it. And I think I've come to a really nice place where I do my work. I have the nuts and bolts. I feel like the mechanics of it that I do are okay, but like I'm comfortable where I'm at and the work that I do and like the information I have going to every game. It's kind of like the same thing every game now. I feel pretty good. Does it sound okay?
Sounds great. All from right. From where we sit, I think I speak for most Marlins fans. They really enjoy the job that you do, and obviously it's also a sophomore season for Mr. Steven Strom.
Yes.
As what have you seen from Mr. Steven as well?
Growth, maturity. No, Steven does a very good job. He does. He works his tail off. Last year was tough, dude. He was hired on opening day. I mean, we hired him on opening day. I shook his hand and I said, "We're going to the radio booth, and you've got an hour-long pregame show." And we took young Steven on a magic carpet ride, which was really cool in his first year. But no, Steven does an amazing job, and I know he and I are going to work together for a really long time.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. And obviously, just to get the stuff on the field, the team is not where they want to be, where Marlins fans want them to be. And for you personally, how are you able to maintain the excitement that you do when things do go right and not let the negativity, I guess, permeate into the broadcasts?
Well, it's easy for me. I am living a charmed and dream life.
Absolutely.
And every day that I get to come to the ballpark and watch a team play, no matter how good or how bad they may be doing, to me, it's awesome. And I promise you that regardless of what this team's record is in August, I will get as excited for every home run call because I love the game. I will forever be appreciative of the talent level of these players and what they're capable of doing. That's always the one thing that, side note, that drives me nuts when people are so critical of these players. There's a reason we're up here and they're down there. Exactly. There's a reason they're getting paid really good money. We're never going to be there. We're never going to be in their shoes. They're unbelievable athletes. And for me personally, every day that I get to come to the ballpark, I don't care how well or how bad the team is playing. It, like, that doesn't affect my work. If I get to sit down with Steven and whoever I'm working with every single day, and we get to bring a broadcast to the homes of people, because I think I told you guys this last year, like, wins and losses are important, right? Fans are emotional over wins and losses, but I do feel like we are an extended part of people's family for 6 months out of the year, man. Like, you know, we're in people's homes. People have a crap day at work and they come home, and maybe we can provide them with a little bit of an escape for a couple of hours. So, like, I will never let wins or losses affect me. It might, you know, sound a little sad on the radio if something happens late, because I am in that regard affected by it, because I want to see them win. Who doesn't want to see them win? Like, I love the people in this organization. There's unbelievable people here, and I know everybody's affected by the way things have started, right? Like, but I'm going to keep showing up and having fun.
I think fans appreciate also when you sort of share the sentiment, you know, that either it's positive or negative. I think fans really do appreciate that when listening to you on the broadcast.
Well, I just think honesty is important. Like, I don't feel an obligation to get on the air and try to do 3 hours of just everything's positive, and if things aren't going well on the field. To me, I have no credibility. Why would I trust myself if I'm getting on there basically saying, hey, no, everything's fine? You know, it's not, and that's okay, and let's be honest about what's happening. Let's pick apart stuff that is being said, like, on the record, I'm saying, like, in pregame availability and what is said postgame, and here's what Skip had to say last night, and here's what he said earlier today, and here's what some of the guys are saying. Like, to me, if I'm a fan, and I am a fan of this game, and I, on my drive home every night, I listen to other broadcasts. It's usually West Coast games, and it's, you know, John Miller and the guys in San Francisco, I mean, so on and so forth. I keep doing this. But I think people, more than anything, appreciate honesty. Yes. And when you're not delusional and you are honest, that also lends to your self-credibility. And people will, and I'm not just like asking people like, hey, like I'm honest, so come listen to us. But I just do believe inherently like, hey, you know what? They were there with us years ago when it wasn't going well and they were being honest about the situation. And now that things are humming and they're perennial playoff contenders every year, they're there with the same enthusiasm and excitement that we heard years ago. So I think that's really, really important.
I would agree. And just let's sort of pick at the ball club a little bit. It's very similar coaching staff to last year. A lot of the guys on the field, the starting position players, same from last year. Rotation and bullpen a little bit different. Obviously, a lot of injuries happening. But what could you point your finger to saying that it's so different from last year to given the Marlins' losses this year?
I mean, I think you have to start with the starting rotation. You know, we weren't trying to fool anybody this spring when you legitimately looked at it and said, you know, obviously no Sandy, but you do have Yuri, who's going to pitch for a good chunk of the season, and Jesus Luzardo, and you'll see Max Meyer, and they expect Edward Cabrera to take the next step, and Ryan Weathers to be good, and Braxton Garrett to be really good again, and it just hasn't happened. This team, the pedigree, and they are predicated on what happens in the starting rotation. And unfortunately, they've kind of run out of it early. Obviously, with Luzardo now on the injured list, and Yuri undergoing the Tommy John and the brace procedure, and obviously Sandy's not here. Braxton Garrett, we still have not seen him. Edward Cabrera got out of the gate slow. Ryan Weathers and Trevor Rogers, I've enjoyed watching them. They just haven't gotten good enough starting pitching, and it's really not their fault. Guys are hurt. Now, I mean, that's on the pitching front. Obviously, offensively, a lot of ground balls, right? Every night, it's unfortunately rally killers when you bounce into double plays. Defense has been a little shoddy at times, probably too many base running mistakes. But I said this yesterday when we did our podcast yesterday, and I hope everybody gets a chance to listen to it, because I felt afterwards like, you know, you toe the line of like honesty and like, I don't even know how to explain it, but like, and this is lazy, and it's not, it is what it is right now. And I hate to say that, and it feels like a lazy thing to say, but the team is where they are, and they're 6-23, and you're not going to win 17 games tonight. And yeah, it doesn't look like, you know, they're going to be as competitive as they were last year. And you know what? It's okay to admit that. And now it might be time, and we'll see what happens, and we'll see what Peter Bendix chooses to do. And I know there are probably many, many people out there that are upset with what's transpired. And I'm very sympathetic to everything that has happened to this fan base over the years. I get it. We're all fans, and I know people don't want to see the losing. But Peter deserves an opportunity to do this his way. I cannot reiterate that enough. And it wasn't going to turn around overnight. This team has very little in the farm system. They were the 29th best, you know, or the worst, or whatever you want to say, coming into the season. That is generally, if you look at MLB pipeline, you know, they're pretty accurate. Like, there's a reason, you know, the Orioles are the first, and you know, whoever else is second. And a couple of years ago, the Marlins were in the top 10, and now they faded. So it's going to be time for things to change, and that's okay. That is honest, and there's no reason for me to try to fool anybody. And you know, they're going to have to start fresh a little bit. And Peter Bendix deserves to do this his way. It frustrates me when I hear this from people that Bruce Sherman doesn't care. He owns this team. He is committed to winning in Miami. Whether you want to believe that or not, I'm telling you the truth. If you own the team, why wouldn't you want to win? I ask people that all the time. So you want to buy it and you don't want to win? Bruce loves baseball. He cares about this. The people in the front office, the leadership team on the business side, they all care about this. Everybody wants to see this thing succeed. And now Peter Bendix, who's in charge of everything, is going to get an opportunity to do it his way. And he deserves that. And I'm sorry, but the honest truth is that it's going to take time. It's not going to happen tonight. It's not going to happen tomorrow. They will probably trade some players this season or next year, right? But they have to start somewhere. And the only way you can start it is you build a foundation. House don't go up without a foundation, folks. And that foundation is the farm system. They need to draft. They need to develop. and they're going to have to trade people. And that's okay, because you know what? It'll honestly, and at some point down the road, get them to where they want to go, because there's great people that work here.
And I agree with you. But I guess the argument for Marlins fans would be, is it okay? Because you know what? They made the postseason last year. They won 84 games, yeah. Right? And they had continuity that you would think with the manager, with the GM and Kim Ng. And it seems as if it's going to be yet another sort of retooling situation where it might take a couple of years, like you mentioned. I guess the question that most Marlins fans would have is, why did it need to go this route instead of just adding a little bit more to what it was already a pretty competent Major League roster?
Okay, so I think that's all fair. And I really, really do. The one thing that does frustrate me is when you hear things about Kim and why isn't she so... Well, she's not here. And Kim did an unbelievable job. But the page needs to be turned. The Marlins have made the decision that they believe is in the best interest of this organization moving forward, and that is under the leadership of Peter Bendix, who now is going to get an opportunity to do things his way. Not everybody's going to agree with that. My question, and I would ask you this, Isaac, and I don't just ask you to like say, you tell me the answer, but I ask a lot of people this when people reach out on Twitter.
At MPT College Consulting, they pride themselves on helping clients navigate the college application process. This includes preparation for standardized testing, guidance through high school, assistance with essays and applications, and choosing the right college. Their work is always geared toward the specific needs of the individual client as they strive to make this process as stress-free for the family as possible. Visit them at mptcollegeconsulting.com to learn more about their services and schedule a free consultation.
What moves did you want them to make? And I say all that knowing what we know now. Yuri's elbow was probably going to blow out.
Yes.
That's not a fluke thing. So they're going to be without Sandy and Yuri. Mm-hmm. And then you probably need another 8 to 10 starting pitchers on a really good year to get through the season.
I agree.
What was the path to winning? I'm not asking you right. That, but like, did that mean they should have gone and signed two veteran starting pitchers? In addition to, I know the name Soler and J.D. Martinez. Would that have gotten this team to where they ultimately want to be? I don't have the answer to that, and I don't claim to have all the answers, and I think the question that you asked, that many have asked, is a very valid question. And I don't mean this in like a smart you-know-what way, but the offseason is over. And like, why do we continue to go back to why didn't they do this? Okay, whatever they did was right or wrong, they didn't do it. And now they're going along with a plan, and they're going to be convicted to a plan, and they're going to do things the way that they want to do them. And that's okay. Like, and I know it's not okay with everybody, but Peter Bendix deserves an opportunity to do it his way. And I will reiterate that, and I'm sorry, but it's not going to happen overnight. There's a long-term vision. They are not, at least in my opinion, going to just sacrifice things at the major league level. They're committed to trying to be competitive every year. It hasn't worked to start this season. We'll see how that plays out. But Peter deserves an opportunity to do that. And I'm going to say it one more time. That means drafting and developing. Yep. They have, what, the 16th or 17th pick this year? Okay. Don't be fooled by this is going to be one draft class and seven of these kids are going to be in the big leagues next year. It's not how it happens. It could be 3 or 4 years, but... And I'm going long-winded. Do we need to stop this, Kevin? Just tell me when we stop this. But here, okay, somebody brought this up to me yesterday too. Give me 30 seconds. Do the things the way the Braves and the Astros have done them. Okay, fine. How did the Braves and the Astros do it? By drafting and developing. People quickly forget that when they are kicking everybody's butts every single year and they're in the NLCS and ALCS every year. Every single one of these great teams, no matter how big or how small their payroll is, started somewhere. And it's drafting and developing that starts in the Dominican Republic, low A, high A, double A, and triple A. And I thank you for joining me for my TED Talk.
I couldn't agree more. I think they took a huge step in the right direction when they finally went separate ways with DJ Svirlik. I thought, you know, after the last 6 drafts or so, things just weren't going the Marlins' way in that front. But just to touch on the Major League offensive side of things, which struggling hitter, are you most confident in them turning it around at some point this year? And then just one or two more, I promise.
Okay, we're almost done.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm going long.
No, don't worry.
I'll make it quick. I mean, Josh Bell has a track record. I think he'll be better. I really do. He's a switch hitting veteran first baseman. I think he'll be better. I mean, who else? De La Cruz has hit well. Sanchez has been okay. They need to find out in Jesus Sanchez if he's an everyday player or if he's a platoon player. That's going to be very, very important. Can he hit lefties? That's a big question, and he's going to get an opportunity, and we're going to find out if he's an everyday player.
I hope so, because with Avi, obviously Avi's on the IL now, but they called up Dane Meyers, and it seems as if it's going to be a very strict platoon the rest of the way.
Well, I would agree with that, and we will see if in the not-too-distant future do you start to see guys like a Tristan Gray and a Griffin Conine and a Troy Johnston. And I don't know. I really don't know enough about the minor league system, so please, I'm not trying to tell it. Like, you know, I see Victor Mesa Jr. is having a great start in AAA. Is he a candidate at some point this season? I remember years ago Don Mattingly told me there's nothing better for the young kids on a team that might be struggling to get them 100 at-bats and let them travel with the team in August and September. They learn how to live the big league life. They get to these stadiums with three different decks. They know what it's like to see this competition because those young kids – it's their World Series when they get an opportunity. Sure. So do we see those guys get 150 at-bats, maybe get their feet wet, maybe it gives them an opportunity next year? All of that stuff, and again, I know fans will be upset with this, that stuff really excites me. I love watching young kids. I love watching people's dreams be fulfilled, and I think we're going to see that this year with some guys.
I got to admit, it does excite me as well because I'm very looking forward to September when you might see a Victor Mesa Jr. starting in center field and a Griffin Conine in right and maybe a Max Meyer on the mound. And I think that is just as exciting as, well, I don't know if just as exciting, but if not a little bit less exciting than a playoff roster. Last one for you, Kyle. Just so far, obviously you've done this for a year and a month. Everyday play-by-play man. Do you have a favorite call of yours that you've had the honor of being behind the mic for?
Probably Tanner Scott closing things out in Pittsburgh. That was a little emotional for a lot of people. Like, I just remember, you know, I don't really remember now what I said, but like I remember it was a strikeout, and all I could really think about, man, like, there's a lot of people that have been waiting a long time for this, 20 years for the first time in a full season, like. As I said, like, postseason baseball is coming back to Miami. I remember now. Like, that was really cool. Like, I hope that I was able to, bring that to life for people because it means, like, this team means a lot to a lot of people in this city. And, I think the fans deserve this as much as this organization. And I know there's been some hard, lean times, but I do believe they're going to get back there. Yeah, I would probably say Tanner Scott.
Thank you very much, Kyle. We're here at Lone Depot Park as the Marlins will look to avoid a four-game sweep to the Washington Nationals. Thank you very much, Mr. Kyle. We'll do this again, maybe hopefully in September.
All right. Hope everybody's listening. Fox Sports 940 Miami and the Marlins Radio Network, driven by AutoNation.